Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
He is the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. You can check him out on social media at Ross Tucker NFL. And also, of course, myfrontpagestory.com, which is phenomenal, which we'll talk about a little bit later in this. Ross Tucker, welcome back. Happy New Year, my friend. Great to have you with us.
Yeah, Happy New Year as well. Good to talk with you, Steve. Thank you for having me.
All right. So, I mean, look, you've done your fair share of a lot of, you know, with NFL games this year. When I look at these two teams, you know, you're a lot like me. You look at units. And I don't mean the offensive unit, defensive unit, like units. And I think the best unit on the field is the Rams' defensive front, and I think the worst unit on the field is the Bengals' offensive front. How do you view it?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. The thing I would say about that, though, Steve, is that was definitely the case in the Bengals' game against the Titans.
Yes.
And I don't know if it was the case against the Chiefs, but with Frank Clark and Melvin Ingram and Chris Jones, the Chiefs have a pretty good defensive line as well.
Yep.
And the Bengals' offensive line was still not good. So I guess what I would tell you is everybody knows it, right? Like, you know, the Bengals know their offensive line isn't great. The Rams know the Bengals' offensive line isn't great. You know it. I know it. So it's really incumbent upon the Bengals' coaching staff to make sure that that's not the reason why they lose the game. And they've been able to do that, kind of, and they've won the games against the Titans as well as the Chiefs. They're going to have to do it again. And there's lots of different things you can try. You can try to run the ball more. You can do more two tight end sets to try to chip out the defensive ends on the way out there. You don't have to worry about them as much. You know, you can get the ball out of Joe Burrow's hands quickly, more play action on first down. There's a lot of different things they can try. And so we'll see what they end up going with. But they've done a good enough job to get him here.
Which then brings us to Joe Burrow. What kind of job in reality has he done, considering let's at least couch it by saying the Bengals' offensive line is good, they just aren't great. All right? What kind of job has Burrow done working around that?
Yeah, unbelievable. He's extremely impressive. I was on the sideline for the AFC Championship game, and it was really interesting because right after the game, I got to interview Joe Mixon, like less than a minute after McPherson made the kick. And Steve, he was crying and very emotional. You know, I think it's probably pretty well documented. He had a horrific incident his freshman year at Oklahoma.
No doubt, terrible. Yeah,
and it's on video. And a lot of teams wouldn't touch him in the draft. And I think he was just so appreciative of the Brown family and the Bengals for giving him that chance, which is why, you know, he went out of his way to just thank them and get emotional. But the point I was going to make is, like, 3 minutes later, I interviewed Burrow, and in those situations, they'll tell you, like, "Hey, you got 3 seconds, right? You got three questions. I'm sorry, not seconds.
Right? Yeah.
You got three questions, and I can't remember the first one I asked, but he was so relaxed as I asked him that first question that I immediately changed my second question. I said, "Joe, you just won the AFC Championship game. You're going to the Super Bowl. How are you so calm right now?" And he was like, "Well, you know, I was excited right when Evan made the kick, but we kind of came here thinking we would win the game. We expected to win the game, and, you know, it took us a little while to figure things out, but once we did, we were able to do." I mean, he's the calmest, most relaxed, chill guy I think I've ever interviewed.
You know, what's interesting about that is when he transferred from Ohio State to LSU, he played the 1 year before the awesome season. And in the 1 year, the first year he got to LSU, he was good. He wasn't great. He was good. it's amazing the transformation to his last year at LSU, where he was phenomenal, and he's been phenomenal, it seems, ever since. That's what's always struck me about him, is that the first year he went to LSU, he was good, but not great.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? It really is. It's fascinating. Listen, I was talking with some people recently, Steve. I mean, you know, I guess both his dad coached there and his brother played at Nebraska. So
yeah.
Joe wanted to go to Nebraska, but Nebraska had already signed Adrian Martinez, so they said, no, thank you. Like, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, you go back and read some of this stuff, it's just unreal. I mean, Nebraska could have had Joe Burrow, but they're like, no, we got Adrian Martinez. I mean, it's the transfer portal for quarterbacks has been fascinating, but your point about the transition he made from year one at LSU to year two, it's like he was a different guy. He was good year one, but by year two, he was amazing. I mean, the guy's never lost a playoff game, you know, which sounds silly. It's only his second year, but college football playoff or NFL playoff.
It's amazing. So you were watching the game. I thought a key defensive player in the Chiefs-Bengals game that you worked that day was Mike Hilton. And Mike Hilton, I'm going to guess at some point or another, is going to get Cooper Kupp, who's exceptional. So give me Kupp's side of it as to why he's really good, and then give me Hilton's side of it as to why he might have a chance to cover him.
Yeah, so they're going to go against each other a lot because Cooper Kupp plays in the slot a lot. Mike Hilton is one of the best nickelbacks in the NFL. That's going to be a head-to-head matchup a lot. I think the thing that jumps out to Cooper Kupp is McVay does an awesome job always making sure he has a free release, meaning
yes,
he has space to get into his route. He's not getting jammed at the line of scrimmage. He's got a free release. Well, once he has a free release, the corner is just in trouble.
Yep.
Whoever's trying to cover him, he has an unbelievably unique ability to make every route look the exact same. So, you know, when you're covering him, he has no tendency, he has no... By the time he gets on the corner and then makes his break, the corner really has no idea which way he's going.
It's phenomenal. You're absolutely right about free release, because when Devontae Smith was at Alabama, as you and I have talked about, they put him in the slot so nobody could get a jam on him. And you know, and he got free release almost all the time, and that's what happens with Cooper Kupp. Cam Akers' presence in the game. He may not be quite 100%, but what advantage does he give the Rams offense that maybe Sony Michel can't?
Well, I think he's got a little more juice, for sure. Although, it's interesting, McVay's talking like Darrell Henderson is going to be back and playing for the Rams, and that all three of those guys are going to play, which I think is really interesting. And Akers, you know, he fumbled a couple times, so I guess I just wonder the level of confidence that McVay has in him. Very curious to see how much the Rams run it. They like to run it, but how they divvy up those carries, my guess is he'll go with the hot hand, whoever that ends up being.
Your thoughts on Matthew Stafford? Because obviously he was brought in to be a cut above Jared Goff. I think everyone would think he is. What have you thought about his level of play?
Well, he's played extremely well. Now, I mean, I guess the one negative is I think he leads the NFL in pick sixes. And
yeah,
I do think for the Bengals to win, there has to be a turnover or two at least, and maybe even a defensive touchdown. You know, Hilton's good at it. Jesse Bates as a safety is really good. So I do think that that's a pretty big factor, and that, you know, the Bengals' best chance is Stafford has a couple picks.
Yeah.
I'm really happy for him. You know, you got to think when you're in Detroit, you know, is this ever going to happen for me? And now he's at least in the Super Bowl. He wanted to play in big games. Now, I really want the Bengals to win, Steve, just because I know what it was like for Eagles fans when they won for the first time ever 5 years ago. And that would be amazing for Bengals fans. And I don't think there's really that many Rams fans, so I don't really, you know, I'm not rooting for them. But if the Rams win, I'll just be so happy for guys like Matthew Stafford, Andrew Whitworth, to be doing what he's doing at his age. You know, Eric Weddle, even Aaron Donald, who's been so good, so deserving of you know, winning a championship.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Aaron Donald. That was going to be my next question anyway. Ross and I have done this so many times that he kind of anticipates where I'm going, which is interesting. But when you've seen him in person, now look, defensive players, let's get something straight. He's probably in on one out of every seven plays. Now, most defensive players are in on one out of every 20 plays. You know, maybe, you know, one out of every whatever. But he's in on one of every. That's a high percentage. What makes him effective when you see him?
Well, he just has incredible natural explosion combined with unbelievable technique. You know, you don't get to be at that level without having really all three things. And believe it or not, a lot of D linemen in the NFL don't have all three, which is tremendous physical ability, tremendous motor and want to, and then the impeccable technique. A lot of guys, everybody in the NFL has at least one of those. A decent amount of players have two. Having all three is rare. You know, believe it or not, there are guys that have incredible ability. They just don't have the motor. You know, it's such a tiring position. They just can't do it that many snaps a game. Then there's the guys that, you know, they've got the motor and they've got the physical ability, but their technique's just not there. You know, at that level, it's so much more about technique than anybody ever realizes.
I say the best for last, because this is a big weekend, and it's not just the Super Bowl. MyFrontPageStory.com. We've talked about it before. This is a phenomenal gift, and it's a great weekend to do it, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's been really cool. We've been killing it, Steve. So many people have been getting these stories for their significant others for Valentine's Day. People get it for birthdays and Mother's Day as well. It's kind of funny. I've actually been helping to write some of the stories. So for people that aren't familiar, you have a story written about your significant other, and it looks like it's on the cover of the newspaper. It looks beautiful. It's framed. You know, they almost always cry when they read it because they just see the quotes from you, like, I just never tell her how much I appreciate all the little things she does. It's just, it's a really emotional gift and a truly unique gift that they get, and cool for me to watch. But we've gotten so many, Steve, and I'm in on the business now that I've actually had to, over the last week or so, help write some of the stories. So the other night my wife wanted to watch Netflix. I was like, nope, I need to go write some love stories about women other than you. And she thought that was pretty much. She's like, when I met you and you were a football player, never did I think that part of your career would be writing love stories like this at night. But that's exactly what I've done. So if you're listening, get a story at MyFrontPageStory.com for your significant other for Valentine's Day. Might even be me writing it for you.
Even better, MyFrontPageStory.com. Okay, so many of you are out there searching for, I got to find something. Here's your solution. And not only that, Ross might even write it. All right. Awesome. Hey, Jack Ham sends you his best, by the way. So,
oh, awesome. Tell him I said hello. I truly enjoy listening to you guys, and I'm excited about what Penn State's been doing from a recruiting standpoint. And, You know, I'm from the Reading area, so
yep.
I've been hearing about Nick Singleton since he was in eighth grade. I'm very excited about what he can do. I met with Javen Williams and his family Saturday morning before he committed. He goes to my high school, Wyomissing. So I'm excited about what Penn State's been doing on the recruiting trail and hoping it can mean really good things.
Thank you for doing this. And again, one more time. Look, you're all searching for a gift. I know you out there. MyFrontPageStory.com. And it's going to be something to sit back and go, wow. Ross, thank you so much.
Of course, Steve. Thanks for having me, man.